Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. The original hard and firm theme song for Doug Loves Movies is back, and so everybody was able to clap to that one. It was funny listening to you guys try to clap to Motion City Soundtrack's version. There's like a time change in it, and you guys would all just clap anyway, like almost as if you're gonna start chanting, "We're white, we're white." So we always had to take that off of the audio so that it wouldn't annoy the listeners. Because wouldn't that be weird to listen to a song and people don't know how to clap to it? We're coming to you from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles before Comedy Death Ray on Tuesday, July 13th, 2010, the year of our Lithgow. Programming note, since I'm about to go out on the Pot the Vote tour. Yeah. But one person excited about me leaving Los Angeles to go do comedy. There won't be any tapings of this podcast here at UCB again until August 3rd. So the next 2 weeks, there might be other stuff going on before Death Ray, so check your listings. Graham Elwood and I are going to be going to the Pot the Vote Tour, so we're going to go to Sacramento Punchline July 20 and 21st. The Cellar Door in Visalia, July 23rd. San Francisco Punchline, July 25th at 4:20. And then again on July 27th at 8 o'clock. And then they're also squeezing in a show at the Improv in San Jose on July 26th. And this is to remind people to vote for Proposition 19 on November 2nd. I'm not affiliated with any group or anything. I'm just doing it on my own. And if lots of people wear name tags to the shows, we will play the Leonard Maltin game for fabulous prizes or shitty T-shirts, just like I did last Sunday in Nashville at Zany's. We got to play the Leonard Maltin game, and the crowd didn't turn against me because I wasn't doing stand-up. It's a tough thing. I got to judge it with each show. Like, well, are there enough people that listen to the podcast that there won't be like people walking out like, we didn't come to watch a guy say obscure names. We didn't come to hear number bidding. So, but here's the good news. While I'm off on the tour, we've already banked 2 episodes of the podcast that we will play on the next 2 consecutive Fridays. So one will plop each week as normal. And Jimmy Pardo, Matt Belknap, and Pat Francis from Never Not Funny are the guests. So it's a fun two-parter that you can listen to. And we've already taped it, so I want to tell you right now that if you listen to this one first, or you see it live, and then you listen to the one with Jimmy Pardo, I go on and on. It's like a crazy coincidence. I go on and on about what's going on with Topher Grace. I want more Topher Grace. I haven't seen anything with Topher Grace. And then, like, you know, of course, 2 days later, I'm watching Predators, and there's Topher Grace. And I'm like, that podcast is going to sound so stupid. If everyone knows I saw Predators on opening day because I tweeted about it, they're all going to be like, why does he not think Topher Grace is in anything? Did he not recognize him during 2 hours of Topher Graceness? He doesn't even turn into a black slimy thing. He's Topher Grace the entire time. Spoiler alert. So speaking of podcasts, which I think I was at some point since I got out here, my guests tonight are from a very funny podcast called The Joe Rogan Experience. Please welcome producer Brian Redband, guest Sam Tripoli, and the titular host, Joe Rogan, everybody. Joe Rogan's here. Come on out, fellas. Sam and Brian and Joe, just find your way out here. Take some seats. And we'll talk about movies. Because this is called Doug Loves Movies. And that's what we do, is we talk about movies to guests that come out when I say their names. I saw them all sitting backstage. I know they're back there. Is this like am I being pranked? I'll do a show all by myself. I'm not afraid. I got a lot of things to say about Predators. All right, I'll just start talking about Predators. First of all, was Topher Grace in the ads? Seriously. Oh, they're trying to, there's a door that's blocked. Were you really trying to come through that door? Have you seen the ads for Predators? Like movie ads?
Yeah.
And do you see Topher Grace in those ads?
I just love how Adrian Brody's just in jacked.
Have you seen that?
Talking to the microphone like I told you backstage.
Okay.
All of my tips did not really land with you guys.
Did you see that last Adrian Brody movie? The crazy, what is it, Splice?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Fucking awesome for all the wrong reasons. It's a great bad movie. It's really, really, really bad. It's so bad. They make this splice part human thing in a basement, okay? They leave it in the basement and it grows on its own. They leave it in a storage room at this fucking science place. Like, no one's gonna notice that you got a full grown fucking alien human thing with a tail living in a storage room. It's alive for 3 months, maybe, till Adrian Brody fucks it. I mean, outside, and he gets busted fucking. I mean, it's just awesome.
How does he seduce awesome it? Does he have to, like, order in some
him.
Pizza?
And he touches him. He says, let's do this.
Fucks he anything. Or not stone when he saw it?
Stone as fuck. Why would you go to see a movie like that if you were sober?
Yeah. That's Brian Terrible. Redband speaking over there. I want you guys to know the voices that are listening to the podcast. That's Brian. He's the producer of the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yep.
Yeah, and how's that work out for you?
It's fun.
Going great.
You guys, but like, do you ever forget the microphones or something like that?
Because
I hear tell you get high a lot when you do it.
We always leave a computer on so that when we start broadcasting, you hear the echo because it's in the background. We always fuck that up.
So unprofessional.
Yeah, it's a very unprofessional podcast.
Well, you know what? People are paying unprofessional money to get it.
Yeah, that's what doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
We're sponsored by Fleshlight.
We actually get paid.
Boom!
We are, for real.
A lot of my listeners just plug regular flashlights because they're real men.
You should.
They just open up a flashlight, dump out the batteries, and stick their dick in there.
There's no reason to do that. It's only $60 for a good one.
God, that's
safe flight
great.
Repairs, safe flight awesome. Replace.
It's technology for jerking off.
And can you get me one?
Fuck yeah, son.
Whatever you want.
How many do you need? I'll get you three of them. I'll get you a butthole and a mouth one.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, you should call the Make-A-Wish Foundation and say, I can really hook some kids up.
I can. You know, I can. They don't have black ones, though, which is very disturbing. And we found that out by searching on the site. Like, at least they're not like on the front cover.
What are
pages.
They? Like Asian and like
they have pink. Vampire ones, pink. But they don't have black.
Yeah,
they have like Twilight.
Yeah, with
vaginas.
Fangs. With fangs. Swear to God,
that's probably why really? Mel Gibson got mad. As he called to order a black one, and he's like, "No black ones." I hope you get raped by a bunch of black ones.
Listen, my opinion, maybe he's not yelling at her out of like anger. Maybe he's yelling at her out of encouragement. Like maybe he's in interracial porn. You ever think about that? And he's like, hey, I'll go get some black.
Oh yeah, maybe anytime. They play like role playing games, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
and she records it and then sends it out. Like this is what he's really doing.
Like. She was a little too calm for my tastes.
The whole thing's a viral video for a movie.
Well, you got to be calm when you're wearing a wire. You can't be too.
I know, but it's just, the whole thing was so uncomfortable. He's so fucking crazy. It's awesome. He's just like spooky crazy. You know, he's like there's no way this is real crazy.
Right.
Do you think he's not going to work again? Crazy.
Well, his agency dumped him. I know that. I don't. He makes so much money. He's got so much money. It doesn't even matter.
Good voice work.
But it does matter. That's the weird part.
But why? Why would it matter?
I think he wants to still be a movie star, and I think he wants people to think he's not racist, which is going to be like so hard to pull off.
There's people.
That's like Obama trying to convince people he was born here. You know, it's really there's going to be some people that are always going to think that. You know what I mean?
Well, there's people that still want to see Polanski's movies. You know, there's people that still want him to work. They think he's very talented.
You know, I mean, that's what I say about him. Is you know what would Pierce Brosnan do without? I didn't see what that last one was, the Ghost Rider. Did you see that?
No. Was that a Polanski movie?
Yeah, yeah. And everybody said it was really good.
That's
a
tough sell, working with that dude. Really?
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I got a really short list. It's him and Leno, and that's pretty much the only people I wouldn't work with.
You won't work with Leno ever?
If I got a chance to go on his show, I would either say no or I'd say something obnoxious once I got out there, you know?
Like, wow.
I can't just really... Yeah, I do have strong feelings about it. It's weird. Because I really shouldn't care.
What is it that's so offensive to you? What's the most offensive out of all the Conan, Jay Leno thing? What was the most offensive part of it?
The not being funny part? Like that trumps all in my book if you're a professional comedian.
But
like,
he's funny to someone, right?
I guess.
It's just not you. No, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I would not have had a problem with him. There's plenty of people that are not funny to me that are funny to everybody else.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with those people as long as they're not lying, cheating weirdos, you know, who...
So it's not really just that he was not funny that you think there's something fucked up about the way he went about...
No, I'm saying he laid all that extra stuff on it. Like, I love some Mel Gibson movies, you know. I don't blame him for the bad ones, but now I just hate the guy, you know. Now he's just like...
Oh, I want a reality show with him. That's what I want.
Oh, it's
coming.
He's going to be on Celebrity Rehab.
I'd watch that.
I want to see him just get followed around all day, yelling and screaming at people, getting fucking drunk.
I think he'd have to hire him. Have to be hidden cameras because I think he likes to pretend to be not a drunk, you know, like he doesn't.
Yeah, he likes to pretend. It's very interesting with Twitter and with Facebook and all these different things and TMZ and all this stuff. You're finding things out about people that no one ever did 10, 15, 20 years ago.
So maybe you're not supposed to find out.
Well, you know, you are. But
the world needs to know when someone's a rude little pig.
Yeah.
The world needs to know about it.
That was the worst.
That is terrible. That is like a guy reining in the shit he really wants to say to his kid with words like rude and little and pig. Like that was like him being nice to her while he was yelling at her.
That was the most polite anger I've ever seen in my life.
That was very, very disturbing.
Yeah.
The thing I like about Leno, to go back to that, is that it gives me hope in people that his ratings are down. That, you know, for whatever jockeying position, and maybe he's fucked over Conan, whatever that is, that, you know, that people, like, don't like assholes anymore. You see it now with, like, LeBron James and him just leaving on Cleveland.
Have you ever heard Bill Hicks's bit on Jay Leno? You ever heard the bit?
Bill Hicks
does this genius bit about Leno not being able to take it one day, and he's interviewing Joey Lawrence about Joey Lawrence's girlfriend, and he just can't take it, and he shoves a gun in his mouth, and his brains blow out to form an NBC peacock because he's a company man to the bitter fucking end, and he does this whole bit on it. So I asked Jay about it. First time I did the Tonight Show, when we were in between, like in commercials, I had to ask him. I said, "What was it like? Like, why'd that guy do that bit? You know, why did Bill Hicks do that thing?" And the answer was so strange. He goes, "Well, you know, Bill is very different. He was just a different guy. You know, some guys want to make everybody laugh. He did not want to make everybody laugh. You know, I want everybody to laugh. You know, and he wanted to, you know, he had his own crowd, and that's what he wanted to do." I was like, "What the fuck are you even talking about? You make everybody laugh? That's crazy. That's a crazy person. You can't make everybody laugh. This shit you think is funny, I'm not going to think is funny. We're different, right?"
Yeah, definitely.
You have to have a sense of humor right now. For sure. You have to have, you know, your own sense of humor.
Yeah, I'm striking out.
I love that impression, though. Leno's impression is great. It's like every white guy voice that black comics do with a gay lisp to it. You know what I'm saying?
He's such a completely odd guy because he doesn't spend any of his money from The Tonight Show. He puts
that's
it
what
all
he
away.
Says. I think that's just a pimp move. I got so much money, I don't even use the Leno money. You know, that's impossible.
The Leno money.
Leno money.
I use the money I get from robbing banks.
Why would he lie about that?
Don't touch my Leno money. I earned that shit. That's weird to be doing a Leno impression without even trying. I'm Jay Leno. But the best thing that Jay Leno ever said, I think he's a smart man in some ways, obviously. He's done well for himself. But the best thing he's ever said, to my mind, is the thing about when asked about joke thievery and people stealing jokes, he's just like, write another joke.
Yeah,
and that nails right, it. It's like, just write another fucking joke.
That's true, but... Yeah, there's a people fine steal line. Your shit. It's also pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying
he sued that publisher for plagiarism.
Yeah,
you know.
You know, there's
he sued some publisher for plagiarism, saying like they copied a book from him or something like that back in the day, like
sure?
2 years ago. Yeah.
You sure you're not talking
why'd
about
you
Jerry
get all
Seinfeld?
Black in
I don't have a
Disney
computer
part.
So I can't Google it.
That's weird to talk about.
My friend Brian right now is too high to talk publicly.
What?
And he's realizing
am I right?
We're in a room full of people.
Anyone? No.
I think stealing
shit.
Jokes, there's like two camps. There's like right
more
jokes.
That's the worst when you pull an audience and no one says
I
yes.
Know. I know.
The entire
I
audience
totally
is like,
uh-uh,
we don't have your back on that. I'm sorry, Sam. Sam, I want to ask you about movies because it's easy for stoners like us to get off the subject of movies, especially when you just smoked for the first time in what, months, years?
Months, months, and months.
Yeah, so that's always a good high when you wait for months and then do it and then go out on a podcast.
It's great.
Holy shit, it's a good thing you have that hat on because your brains want to fly out of your head. So what movies have you been to lately, if you can remember, Sam?
The last
Sam
one
Tripoli?
I went to was honestly Iron Man 2. I thought it was okay. I'm just a little nervous where movies are going. Every movie now has a talking animal in it, and that just makes me nervous how much people love talking animals, which maybe leads to why there's so many animal attacks. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, people may actually want to talk to animals now, and animals probably don't want to talk. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think that's why that many people didn't go to Sex and the City too, because they're tired. They're tired of talking animals.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course.
How rude.
So, George Steinbrenner passed away on this very day that we're taping this. And do you guys like baseball movies? Do you have any favorite baseball movies?
I like The Natural with Paul Newman. That was an interesting, wasn't it? No, Robert.
Robert Redford.
One of those dudes.
That would be an interesting take on it to put Paul Newman in there, yeah.
Do not watch Field of Dreams on acid, man. I did that one time. That's true. I cry when he's playing catch with his dad. I'm like, oh, I lost my dad.
I think that scene is sad without the acid, actually. Did you take acid and cry it up and
yeah.
Toy Story 3 and
just build it, they will
Marley
come. How
and
many
me?
Assholes built baseball stadiums in their backyard after watching that and nothing happened.
And not one ghost showed up.
Some guy wrote to me on Twitter today about how that movie's misquoted. It's if you build it, he will come, not they will come. I'm like, who gives a shit who comes?
The only man. Yeah. Right there.
Wow. Fucking, they
upset.
Said it. Some shit happened. I think it's a
trivia.
I haven't seen it in a long time, so maybe it doesn't hold up. But
Joe, what,
I like
what do you think
movie.
The chances of him having a fleshlight would be? That guy who's lonely,
he's out in the cornfield waiting for the.
I think if he had it, it'd probably help him with his perspective.
Maybe
like,
he
evens out
light?
Your biology, lets you see things a little more clearly.
I'm in
Major League 2.
That's your favorite
yes.
baseball movie. Too stoned to participate. Comes in with Major League 2, not even Major League 1, which is vastly superior in its kind of shittiness. Somebody said to
who
me today,
in Major League 2?
I don't know. It was like a lesser cast. Like instead of Wesley Snipes, it was who?
Omar Epps.
Omar Epps. Hey, I didn't say lesser. That guy's awesome.
Tommy.
We were just talking
Kevin
backstage
Costner
about bad mouthing other comedians, and it's not.
What was the Kevin
Costner cool.
one? The Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. People love that.
That was a great one.
Yeah, that was Robert Wall at his least annoying.
That was an interesting movie because, you know, even the heroes were all fucked up. Like the whole, you know, he was a mess and she was a mess, but all together it worked out. That was interesting.
It's nice they worked it out in the end.
The Rosie O'Donnell one.
Yeah, what is that?
A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Tom
a tough
Hanks
sell.
Is good in it. Tom Hanks is funny.
How many DVDs does that one sell?
Yeah.
I don't know. My favorite's Bad News Bears.
Can you? Would you guys agree?
That's my
that,
favorite baseball movie.
Would you guys agree the worst casting of all time was Rosie O'Donnell as Betty in the Flintstone movies?
Oh, dude, we talked about this when we were in Vegas, you
That's
and I.
Horrible.
That was insane. That was the insanest casting that ever happened because Betty was like super hot, just as hot as Wilma.
She's a Betty. Come
you got to have that you know tension all the time between Barney and Fred that swapping could occur.
Yeah.
You can't have poor Barney with some fucking.
She's a Betty.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Then we just got the lesbian with the biggest skull ever playing the role, which is weird. All right, I'll shut up.
Rosie O'Donnell should start a metal band called Big Skull. She's always taking her career off in such crazy directions. But yeah,
she
Bad News Bears.
She defends weird people once in a while. She was fascinating on The View. When she and that really hot blonde Republican chick would argue, that was intense. She was because Rosie was always like crazy, like 9/11 was an inside job, and the other one is fucking guns, God, and government. And
Woo! There was some sexual tension between
a little bit, right? You know, Rosie wanted to eat that ass. Yeah. Look at her. Dirty Republican. There's something about her.
This is now a dirty crowd. I'm starting to realize.
I can't wait. I'm just looking forward to the movie of whatever it was you were just talking about.
It's already been made, I'm sure, if you can think of it.
Who will play Rosie O'Donnell? Because you always know they get somebody better looking than them. Do you ever notice
Chaz.
That?
Chaz. John Bono.
Chaz Bono. All that money looked like Larry the Cable Guy. That is so weird.
Can you imagine there's some poor person out there in the world that might get cast as Rosie O'Donnell someday? Oh. Like in some sort of somebody's biopic. Like Trump's biopic has to have Rosie O'Donnell in it. And some lady is going to get that part.
It's true.
I get to be Rosie O'Donnell in a movie.
Oh.
Guess I'm going to have to put on some weight. Like they hire a skinny girl, you know?
How do you gain weight in your head, though? That's the weirdest
Maybe they would do a reverse Wilma. They would make Rosie super hot and confuse the fuck out of everybody.
I kind of like to get that out there in the ether. People saying a reverse Wilma is like a new.
That's you. You created proof. That.
Yeah, the reverse Wilma.
Rosie would be CGI. You know, they would just
make her like the Hulk. The Hulk was fairly realistic.
Now people are. I don't know why anyone's talking about whether or not Ed Norton was going to be the Hulk in the Avengers movie. Like, I wasn't sitting around going, God, I hope he doesn't. Like, he was fine in that Incredible Hulk movie, but, like, that's the casting change I can handle, you know?
It's not there's been so many Hulks now, the Eric Bana Hulk, and they're like, just keep rebooting it. They go, this one didn't work, let's just reboot it.
Because the Hulk never looks real.
It looked better. The
newer one was better, but it's still it's an ongoing thing. I hate when they hire a decent actor, especially like a Willem Dafoe or a Topher Grace, and they play a villain that turns into another thing that's not them. Like
Did you see Wolfman?
I didn't see the new Wolfman because I heard so many awful things about it.
I'm a huge werewolf fan. I'm such a huge werewolf nerd.
I've never heard that
before. I bought Wolfman even though it sucked. I bought it on Blu-ray and I put it in the background when I write sometimes, just because I love those fucking movies, like American Werewolf in London, one of my favorite of all time. Just so much fun. But it was the
idea. You like
idea.
To think that you're when you're writing that you're causing mayhem and being chased by.
No,
people.
It's just fun to look at.
It's relaxing.
I just like to look at it.
I'm Armenian, so I have to like anything about angry furry people. You know what I'm saying?
But what they tried to do with the Wolfman, the new one, was put him in, because he's such a great actor, put him in just a mask and put him in, you know, it just looks outdated. It just doesn't work, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's not as effective as the werewolves in Eclipse.
I always
anytime you have like an animal, when they try to do animals, like you can do Jurassic Park and they look like real dinosaurs, but when you try to do like dogs and shit, they look so fucking goofy. Like I Am Legend, like that was a huge problem for me, that lion scene when the when he goes to go to shoot the deer and a lion jumps out and grabs deer in front of him, and then the male lion walks out and the cubs, and I'm like, all right, this movie's out the window because that's retarded. This is like I'm watching fucking Davy and Goliath here. This is ridiculous. This is
they couldn't find a real lion in New York. That's
just
crazy.
Don't show it like that. Don't pretend that I'm supposed to just pretend that this is a fucking lion. That's
the zombie creatures were the same kind of effect.
Monsters. It's like they don't exist in real life. I have nothing to compare them to. This is how you're creating making them. This is how you're presenting them to me. Like with dinosaurs. Maybe the dinosaurs are totally off, too. If we had real dinosaurs to look at, we would say, well, these Jurassic Park ones look fucking stupid and fake. But we don't have real dinosaurs to look at. We got real lions. You can't fake a fucking lion, man.
Do you think lion actors are annoying. Angry that they made CGI lions? They're like, we want to fucking work, bro.
There's already right. some asshole in a hat playing me on Broadway.
Like, what was that... like when back when they were mad that a white guy was doing Charlie Chan, right?
Yeah. At what point do you think in a movie, do you ever watch a movie you're like, okay, everybody in the movie just realized this movie sucks and nobody's trying anymore?
The Lovely Bones.
Yeah.
The Lovely Bones.
One of the most, it made me angry that how horrible that movie was.
Like Jack on Lost?
Kind of like Jack on Lost.
Jack on Lost just Jackson phoned that shit in the last couple seasons.
How about
that
Crank 2? Do you ever see Crank 2?
Why would I ever see Crank 2?
People tell me
how
it's
a dare you?
I didn't like Crank 1, and people say that Crank 2 is better.
No,
and I don't buy it. I don't buy
that
it. It
doesn't even
second.
Make sense.
At one point, the director's like, let's just make a YouTube video. Let's do it. You know, and they just go with it. It's so, the only reason I went and saw it is because my friend plays a stripper, gets her tits shot off, so I'm like, I gotta go support my friend.
Did you just gesture to a specific person in the audience?
That's where she is. Always in the room when he's around.
She always stands in that area.
The voices come from the right.
Tits are always that way.
I do enjoy a good bad movie. I really enjoyed what was the one where Day After Tomorrow? Remember Day After Tomorrow? Where
yeah.
Froze,
it's like 2012, but a few years earlier.
Yeah. Except even more ridiculous. There's so many awesome cliches in that movie.
You can fucking slip in a Cusack instead of a Gyllenhaal, and no one's gonna care. It's the same thing as Ed Norton and the Hulk. You know, you can just switch them around.
Is there any movie that everybody hates but you love? Like, I love The Ladies Man. Have you ever seen it?
No. What is that?
That's this SNL movie that, like, it was me by myself in the movie theater laughing my ass off. And nobody saw it. But I don't know. I just love it. I think it's hysterical.
You know, there's one movie that I've always had. Like, there's a test. And if you like this movie, I probably can talk to you. But if you hate this movie, we're going to run out of conversation real quick. And that's The Big Lebowski.
That's our show, everybody. Just kidding. That's
The Big Lebowski is one of those movies.
Some people just don't get it.
Such a great fucking movie.
Yeah, it's
like
awesome.
I remember like being in the theater while it was going on, just going to, like every choice they made, like yes, it was just so fucking fun. The whole bowling alley scene and where Saddam Hussein, the bowling alley with the mustache, like it's so good. It was so fucking good. Then I talked to people like fucking Big Lebowski sucks.
Who
like,
are those people?
Wow. I'm like really? It's
they also probably didn't like Fargo. That's another movie that I think is amazing, but. Amazing. Some people just don't get it. You know?
They don't. There's a frequency that people don't. Some people just don't tune in to
like
Coen Brothers.
I've heard
shit.
People say, "Why is that one scene in there where Marge goes to see that Asian guy and he keeps hitting on her in the booth even though she's pregnant?" It has nothing to do with the story in Fargo, but it's like one of my favorite scenes in that movie. And I don't sit there the whole time going, "Why is this here? Oh, why is so this? Crazy. Why are these interesting characters interacting with each other in an amusing manner?" Yeah. Fuck this shit.
Some people just don't want that, you know.
I'm from a small town upstate New York. It's very redneck, and I remember when Napoleon Dynamite came out. I was like, this is awesome. I sent it to my buddy, you know, and like a couple weeks later, I go back, and he's like, you know, that movie you sent me, I just don't. We were expecting so much from it. It wasn't anything. And then I realized. Because Napoleon Dynamite is their life. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's like, too close to home.
They watch it. It's like a documentary to them. They're like, and what's the point? Where are we going with this?
Yeah, because they say documentary there.
I got killed.
I couldn't walk away from that one.
Yeah.
No, please don't. Please don't.
Those are my favorite comedies. The Coen Brothers comedies, like Fargo and, you know, especially The Big Lebowski. Those are like my favorite comedies because they're just so unpredictable. There's just the way it's just...
And their dramas have moments of hilarity quite often. They're I think they're great.
Did you like...
almost everything they do.
What was the No Country for Old Men? Did you like that?
Yeah, I did like that.
I did not like the way that ended.
Ends very abruptly.
I don't need that.
Yeah.
I need you to wrap shit up
sort
tight
of suddenly
for me.
End weird.
You're like, look, it ends just like real life. Hey, douchebag, this ain't real life, right? I paid for a movie.
Yeah, but do you...
I'm not looking for real life. I can get real life in real life, all right? How about making an ending that's cool?
Well, do you like it when they wrap it up so much? You're like, that's the worst Hollywood ending, like Crazy Heart?
No, you know what that? I fucking hate is when they put text on the screen to wrap it up. Yeah. No. No, you can't cheat like that, you fuck.
I
you
didn't come here to read.
Yeah, no, show me some more shit. Either show me some more shit or shut the fuck up. You can't just make me read at the end of your movie.
I want a motion picture, not still words.
Yeah, I'm not here to fucking read. I'm here to see shit happen in front of me.
Yeah, I don't want to read.
7 years later. Come on, man.
She married. Had a baby.
The only excuse they ever have is when it's like a real story. Like, he's still alive today. Oh, okay. Cool.
Oh, I'm glad you made that caveat.
Oh, I mean, there's some shit you want to wrap up. You don't want to have a guy like fucking Rod Sterling stand in front of the camera and explain everything to you with a suit on.
You're absolutely
Throw me up some text real quick. We're good.
Yeah. You know what I could do without forever is, it worked in a few movies, but when they do a comical what happened to each character thing, it's always like a few funny ones and then like just total shitty ones like that totally ruin it. Like, even in some of the great movies, they have some that are like, that magazine cover wasn't so funny. Stripes.
Stripes is one of those movies that's so fucking good.
And they did it early enough, and you did feel real affection for the characters, so they each got magazine covers. Yeah. Was exciting for them, but a few of them are like, that's not funny.
Yeah, well, it was hard to come up with something, I'm sure, but the ending of Stripes is just so disappointing in comparison to the first three quarters of it. It's such a classic comedy for like three quarters of the way in, and then it kind of ends like they just have to like tie it up somehow.
They have to go off somewhere and blow shit up. Like, it has to have like some sort of big thing.
What about Clue, when they had three different endings? You could go to three different movie theaters and you could choose which ending you liked best.
Yeah, and the endings were all terrible. And what preceded it wasn't interesting enough to even care about seeing a different ending.
Bill Murray was so fucking funny during the Stripes era. Like, he could do anything and make me laugh. Anything he did, I would start smiling as soon as I would see that guy on screen. He was just so good.
He's great in Zombieland, I'll tell you that.
Oh, that was the best.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen Zombieland? You got it.
I keep 50-50. I hear people telling me it sucks.
Well, the best thing about it now is that the best part about it's been ruined, so you could go ahead and take a pass if you'd like.
I don't think it's
a fun surprise in the middle of the movie. It's one of those ones like he sees dead people that you probably shouldn't say out loud in front of anyone that might not have seen it yet.
Was anyone going to watch Zombieland tonight? And you're like,
Joe Rogan still wants to see it.
Yeah, man, I'm almost
directly.
See
you're
it
right.
Now,
you're gonna get. He's gonna put you in some kind of lock.
Some kind of.
You're gonna want to tap out, friend.
Camel clutch.
Did anybody here in the audience see did anybody in the audience see it that didn't like it?
Zombieland?
Wow, that's strong.
Yeah, this is a pretty Zombieland crowd. I think they all liked it more than I did. I liked it a lot, but I think people liked it even more than I did. Yeah.
Woo!
There you go.
You ever go to a movie expecting one thing and then it's totally something else?
Shaun of the Dead.
Like, really?
Yeah, I did not expect
to.
Yeah, I did not expect to love that movie. I thought it was just going to be. So
which one?
Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That'd be a fun surprise. I knew I'd like it. I mean, I heard enough about it ahead of time. But, yeah, that's cool when that happens, when you just, like, don't really know about a thing.
Top five
now. And then you
now.
Just stumble into it, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
I wish that happened more often, but I guess things have to be marketed, you know?
When I went and saw Sweeney Todd, I didn't know it was a musical. Like, it's the worst thing ever. You're like, sweet Johnny Depp, man. It's going to be, oh, fuck, man. You're like, it's the worst.
That's how I was like the opposite with Edward Scissorhands. I was like, why aren't they fucking singing? This movie could really use some singing, because it's a lot of standing around discussing the same situation over and over again. He's got scissors in her hands. What else can we say about the guy? He's wonderful at cocktail parties. All right, so let's play a Leonard Maltin game. We're running out of time. So I hope somebody runs away with it. Let's get some people for you guys to play for. I always pick from over here. We have David. Joe Rogan will play for you. And then Tommy. We will have Sam Tripoli play for you.
Sorry, Dave.
And Erica. No, you can be good at this, Sam. And Erica. Oh, this is the first time he's gotten high in months, though. Erica. We're going to have a Brian down there play for you. I had to look at Brian in case I thought maybe he had a name tag on. But he's one of my guests.
Tommy play the blues? Do you play the blues?
Do you play the blues though?
That's a very like Crossroads hat you got on.
Oh, okay. Crossroads. That's a movie reference. Okay. A really long time ago movie that doesn't replay on cable. All right.
Is that the... What is that?
That was the Karate Kid.
Ralph Macchio becomes a blues singer. It was... it was made perfect sense after he became a karate master.
Oh, wasn't there some sort of
that
spirit,
kid could do anything?
Supernatural aspect to it.
Yeah, yeah. There was like
made a deal
like
with the devil.
The Robert
there was
Johnson like a black
story.
Ghost with a guitar in the middle of a cornfield, yeah. And it was weird. I did not care for it. Let's let Brian pick from the categories of. Do you want to hear? Should we do a music biopic, a western, or a campus comedy?
Campus comedy.
All right, here we go. You get to pick the year, Brian. You want to go 2006, 94, or 84?
94.
Okay. Sounds like you might have an idea already. Len gives it 2 stars. In his review, I might squeak in a half. I enjoy it. Political correctness is out of control is one of the things he says about it. And then another thing he says about it is there's a clash. A clash occurs in this campus comedy. Don't they all have a clash? All right. You got 10 names. How many names do you think you can get it in?
Wow.
Brian Redband, producer of the Joe Rogan Experience.
I thought
I'd
be better at this. 5.
5 names, he says. Joe Rogan, how many think you can get it in? Or do you want to say name that movie, Brian Redband?
Name that movie.
All right. You get 5 names. You get Parliament Funkadelic. You get George Clinton and...
Rude.
Jake Busey. Sarah Trigger. And Jessica Walter.
Dead. Don't know.
You have no idea?
No idea.
It's a classic, I think. John Favreau was in it. Megan Ward, David Spade, Chris Young, and Jeremy Piven. It was called PCU. And everyone was giggling when I said political correctness as a clue, because that really gives it away, because that's the name of the movie, Political Correctness University.
Threw me off. I'm like, he wouldn't actually give the name.
He wouldn't say that. Yeah. I'm smarter than I look. I'm smarter than I talk. All right, so Joe Rogan got the point on that one. And we'll start with Sam this time. Would you like to do westerns, war movies, or movies that feature Leonardo DiCaprio, who stars in Inception that opens Friday? They're not paying me to say this. That's going to be awesome. I love that movie, sight unseen.
I will go with Leonardo DiCaprio movies.
Okay, and would you like for a year, would you care for... Wait a second, I'm doing this all wrong. Boom. Would you like 2006, 2004, or 2000 straight up?
2000. Let's go 2000 straight up.
All right, I like it.
Sounds like you, Sam.
I'm in.
2.5 stars, pretty accurate. Leonardo DiCaprio plays a young American. Has he ever not? That's one thing that bugs me about him, is he looks really young even when he's playing adult characters, and none of the other characters go, "You look really young." Like, he never gets carded when he goes anywhere. All right. And then he also calls it consistently interesting if sometimes muddled. Consistently interesting if sometimes muddled, and DiCaprio plays a young American, 2.5 stars from the year 2000, and Sam Tripoli, you get 7 names. Try to name it in. How many do you think you can do it in?
7.
Nice opening bid. We go to Brian Redband.
4.
4 names.
Whoa.
Joe right. Rogan, what do you think of that?
I say name it.
Oh my God, Joe Rogan's going to take this thing down right now.
So easy.
I have a good feeling about this. Do you want the clues again, Brian?
Sure.
Okay. 2.5 stars. It's from the year 2000. What does Leo play? A young American. And it's consistently interesting if sometimes muddled. You got to do it in 4 names. It's 4 people I've never heard of. Oh, wait, there's one I've heard of. There's Peter Youngbug Hills. Peter Youngblood Bug Hills. That's his nickname. Robert Carlyle, who we all know from Trainspotting and other things. Paterson Joseph and Guillaume Canet. Guillaume Canet.
You said 2000. Is it The Beach?
Yes, it is.
Whoa!
Nicely played.
Damn. Younger sister.
Also
very
starring
strong.
Virginie LeDoyenne, Tilda Swinton, and Leo.
That was very strong.
That was a Powerful move.
It came out of nowhere.
All right, we're going to start with Joe. We have points for Joe and Brian. First person to two wins. And Joe, you can pick between Westerns, campus comedies, or war movies.
Westerns.
Oh, confident. 2007?
If it's one movie that I know, I got it.
Okay. 2007, 1995, or 1960?
95.
Good, because 1960 was a mistake. I meant to do The Unforgiven, the more modern one that Clint Eastwood did, but there was a John Huston like, one.
That's what I was hoping you would go with. I was psychically trying to plant that in your head.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to go with it. It's a stoner move because I just picked them off the top of my head, and Unforgiven is a very memorable Western. But this one, from 1995, gets only 2 stars from Len. Yeah. He doesn't care for it much. I'd say this is an example of a movie where I love it even though it's probably not particularly good. He says of the movie that Woody Strode appears briefly as a coffin maker. And your other clue is this was Woody Strode's final film. And there are 14 names.
I'll take all 14. Let's go.
Joe says 14 names. What do you say, Brian?
13.
Name it, son.
Sam. No. That's Sam's turn. 12. I think I went the wrong way. Yeah. 12 from Sam. How many, Joe?
Name it, bitches.
All right.
I give up.
12 names for Sam Tripoli. Do you want the clues again?
Sure.
It was so much fun the first time. 2 stars. I like it more. Woody Strode approves briefly as a coffin maker. This was his final film. Good thing it was brief. How many names did you say? 7?
12.
Was it really 12?
7, that's fine. Yeah. Whichever one you want to do.
It was 12? All right.
I was 12. He was 13, 12, right? Yeah.
That's a lot. No, he went 14.
Oh, right. I went 14, 13, 12.
12, all right.
Stoner 12. Move. So confident of himself, yet so wrong.
It's 70. Okay, 12. Bruce Campbell, Faye Masterson, Olivia Burnett, Gary Sinise, Pat Hingle, Lance Henriksen, Keith David, Kevin Conway, Roberts Blossom, Tobin Bell.
I got this.
Do you know what it is?
No. Sam doesn't know
no,
what it
you
is.
You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Was that 12 names?
That's close enough.
You're fucked, son.
No, you get 2 more names. Oh. Leonardo DiCaprio. And Russell Crowe.
That just made it even... Oh, shit. God damn it. I got it, motherfucker.
Sam,
let me
you
do
know
this.
It?
Give it up, Sam.
I can't believe this. I don't got this.
I'll take this one down. Yeah,
I can't believe it either.
I'll take this one.
I love Westerns,
quite a
too.
Distinctive cast.
Come on, give it up. Give it up.
And there's 2 names left. There's
let me
two
get
names
it.
Bigger...
Let me get it.
...than Russell Crowe and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Give it up. It's mine.
Oh, I know it's not Tombstone.
I mean, at least when
no,
it was made.
It's mine, bitch. Give it to me.
Well, you get the point either way, even if you don't know it, Joe. But what is it, Joe?
The Quick and the Dead.
That's correct. The Quick and the Dead.
Yes.
With Gene Hackman, the great Gene Hackman. He's the best actor of all time, I've decided, and I wish he would keep making movies.
Really?
And Sharon Stone. Yeah, he was amazing in Royal Tenenbaums, didn't you think?
I think he's awesome, but I think Gary Oldman's my favorite actor of all time.
He is great, too, especially
Mrs. Rogen
in that one
calls
movie where he's all weird. All right, so Joe won, so our winner is our friend David over here, and he gets a copy of Sam Tripoli's CD called Crime Fighter. What's that available on, Sam?
Nothing.
Can you get it on
come
iTunes?
Come find Sam and try to
you
get one
it on
off
iTunes?
Of him.
Your website?
Bro, you know you can put it on iTunes.
I can do that.
All right, and then you get a copy of Joe Rogan's Talking Monkeys in Space stand-up comedy special that night in Vegas, when we were UFC, I went back to my hotel room, and that was on. And I watched some of that shit. It was very fun.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to give you a copy of that. Oh, wait. There's more. And then a copy of my CD, Professional Humor Eating, available on AST Records and thrown across the room. And then finally, you also receive a, thank you very much, a Pot the Vote t-shirt, Doug Benson's Pot the Vote tour. Listen to the first part of the podcast for all those dates. I'm not going to say them again. And congratulations, David. You went all that stuff in a dirty laundry bag. And the losers, as always, get to pick a shithead. So could you guys, the three of you, say anything that you want to plug right now while I find out who they would like me to call a shithead at the end of the show. But just plug anything you have coming up, starting from this will start, people start hearing it on Friday.
Twitter.
Okay, what's your name on Twitter? Is it just, should they just go on there and hang out until somebody seems advice. Really high and wearing a hat?
I'm just talking about this website, Twitter. No, it's Redban, R-E-D-B-A-N, or redban.com.
SamTripoli.com. I have my naughty show is July 29th at the Improv. It's going to be a really great show. Very excited about it.
Oh, am I going to be in that?
Doug Benson will be live and in charge.
Powerful, nice. Doug Benson.
TMZ, too.
TMZ, yeah. We were just on it, so it's pretty sweet.
Okay.
He's going to be there again?
Maybe. Sam Tripoli on Twitter, too.
All right, cool. And Joe, what do you got?
Joe Rogan on Twitter. I'm at the John Lovitz Comedy Club this weekend, Saturday night, at the Universal. I've never been there.
It's fun.
Is it? Yeah.
Is there a UFC fight attached to it?
No.
Because if Joe Rogan, if you're listening and there's a UFC fight in town, Joe Rogan's probably doing stand-up the night before, and it's a lot of fun. You should go see him. And also, I can't recommend enough watching UFC fights. It was my first time seeing one live, and
pretty crazy.
I had a blast. Fortunately, Brian had a little weed, so we went to his room and got high first. Because if I wasn't high, I might have like gotten under my chair or something, because it is so brutal. Yeah. And so exciting to watch in person.
It just taps right into your chimpanzee DNA.
Yeah, just like if they threw a rock in there and somebody used it, I would stand up. Well, stand up and applaud. And I generally am not. I'm anti-violence, but that is awesome violence.
What people worry about. What people worry about when it comes to this kind of stuff is that the acceptance of this kind of violence is going to lead to, you know, heightened things. Like it's like sort of like the internet. You know, like what. You know, you get so numb after a certain point in time, like, you need more and more extreme things. Like, if they really wanted to go Christians and the Lions, if they really put it on TV and we accepted it, I'd fucking watch it, right? We'd all watch it. If they really did have a dude with a sword and a tiger and they locked him in this big pit filled with dirt, whoa, that's going to be on TV?
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
What do you think, like Spike?
Do they have Ring Girls?
Running Man.
I think people at a certain point, while we're evolving, we need to be controlled a little bit. Yeah. I think it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. You're saying you'd watch it, but you're not necessarily for it.
So I think MMA is like the end. I think that's as crazy as shit can
get. I think it takes it up enough. I had such a fun time, but I wasn't like, oh, if only.
Right. There was lasers.
You know,
if only
come
he beheaded
where
him.
Where are the weapons?
With a fatality
sort of
move.
Spike in there. Yeah.
Fatality. Like,
yeah, so that you're right. It's just right.
It's just right there. Let's stop there. Let's agree as a race.
Yeah, yeah. But but check it out when you get a chance.
I mean, that
really,
would be
really
way better than wars. Just have MMA bouts between countries. Five-man team to represent, just like, you know, bring them in there, represent every white class. Oh, you guys got your ass kicked. How about you shut the fuck up and get out of Kuwait, right? It'd be real simple.
I like to go out on the biggest laugh in the show, and that was pretty much going to be it.
That's impossible.
That was intense. But after the Pot the Vote tour, you can see me at Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington, August 5 through 7. And the next Benson Interruption in L.A. is on August 9th at Largo. And
what is the Benson Interruption? Because we talked about this.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to have you on it sometime. I have a comedian come out, and I sit on stage with them, and I just talk during their act. I just say whatever I want to say, like kind of like what we just did just now, pretty much. But you've got a plan, and I don't know what it is, and I say whatever I want to say, and you don't know what I'm going to say. People love it. It's a lot of fun, and Comedy Central picked it up for, it's going to be a 6-episode series in the fall.
Oh, that's great.
And, So
that's great, Doug. Congratulations.
Great idea.
And as always, at my live shows now, wear your name tags if you want to get me to play a Leonard Maltin game with people from the audience at my shows. Thanks again to Joe Rogan, Brian Redman, and Sam Tripoli.
You guys are a great crowd.
Joe Rogan Experience. And as always, Leonard Maltin is a shithead, and Mel Gibson is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug